No, hey, can we do this though? We in our staff meeting, we're kind of thinking about just what I asked that question, like, hey, we're coming up on our year. What has God been doing? And we just kept making lists of things that God's done, and it was really cool. Because I was like, oh yeah, I guess we did that. I guess that happened. And so can we just pray? And I think it'd be good for us to express some gratitude to God. And I love that Jerry said a lot of the things that we've been able to see happen here is because of this the people doing things, but we ultimately can say that God really was very gracious to us and has been moving, and so I think we could pray on that. Is that cool? So let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We have a lot of reasons to be very grateful and very thankful for all that you have done. And when we look back over the last year, I am reminded, Lord God, that this last year is not our church's beginning. But it's just a continuation of what Pastor Steve and Maxine Nagarda did for 20 plus years here. And so we just want to say thank you for continuing what you did through their ministry. And we just want to pray a blessing over them in Portland, God. We ask that you'd bless them. And we thank you for just the faithfulness that you have expressed to your people. And we pray that there'd be many more years of us experiencing your grace and seeing people's lives changed as we follow our mission of knowing you and making you known. And so we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I was, thinking about kind of what would be the next season for us at the Vineyard here, for us to kind of jump into sermon-wise. We finished the book of Philippians last week. We went through a thematic study of the book of Philippians, and we studied four signs of a healthy church. And so today being Pentecost Sunday, I thought it'd be good for us as a church to spend some time studying the person of the Holy Spirit. And so we're doing this series called Come Holy Spirit, and I'm subtitling it because I believe that two of the influential books that have been in my life on the Holy Spirit that I had in seminary were by two theologians, and one wrote a book called The Flame of God's Love, and the other one wrote a book called The Source of Life. And I think that's a great way for us to think about the Holy Spirit, is it's the flame of God's love and the source of life. So we're doing this series called Come Holy Spirit. And I think what we're going to try to do as we jump into this series is we're going to answer some questions. And so what I want to do really quick is just throw this out there that we are going to be trying to address several questions that some of you may have, and then also address some things that maybe would stir your heart towards being more aware of and more ready to embrace the work of the Spirit. So here's some of the questions that I want us to think about. First one is, who is the Holy Spirit? You know, who is the Holy Spirit? Another question is, how is the Holy Spirit connected to worship? Dan, our pastor Dan, worship pastor Dan, who, can we just give Dan a round of applause? He does so much here too. Yeah. Dan and I have been talking about how, you know, it's really easy to just see music, singing, worship, is just to see that disconnected from a lot of things that the Spirit's doing. But I think that there's some really good activities that the Holy Spirit is involved in regards to worship. And so I want to talk about how is the Holy Spirit connected to worship in the future. And so these are, again, some of the things we're going to talk about in the next month and a half or two. Another question would be, what does the Holy Spirit do in and for God's people? Like, how is he involved in your life? Give me one second here. This microphone seems to be doing some craziness. All right. So how can we experience more of the Holy Spirit's presence and power is another question. And then finally, something that I actually think we've been asking for a year now. When I first came, the first sermon series I did, we did this series called Face the Wind, and we spent a lot of time asking this, where is the Holy Spirit at work? Where is the Holy Spirit at work? Because I think that one of the things that we should all be working very hard to do here at the Vineyard is to identify where the Holy Spirit's at work, you know, learning to identify his voice and learning to identify his activity. In fact, I think one of the coolest things about this last week was as we spent time as a staff kind of thinking about what God had been doing, we had a lot of different observations about how God had worked in the past year, and it was really cool hearing that, you know, because I think sometimes we overlook the Holy Spirit in our ministry time. But with that, let me do this. Let me tell you why the Holy Spirit is really important to me in my personal life. You know, not just theologically and biblically and for our church, but why it made a difference for me. You know, I grew up in the church, as most of you know. If you've been around, you know that I am a product of being, you know, raised in church, so to speak. And, you know, by the age of 20-something years old, I had kind of seen enough bad stuff and a lot of manipulation and a lot of weird stuff that I was kind of like, I don't really know about that whole charismatic Holy Spirit stuff. That's a little weird and excessive for me. But I went to a conference, and it was just a normal conference, and I ended up having an experience with God that the only way I can explain it is that something happened where God showed up and spoke to me, and I felt like for the first time more loved by God than I'd ever been loved in my life. And I remember sitting there just weeping in this back row of this conference thinking, like, what's going on with me? Anybody ever had that happen? Anybody? Yeah, it's terrible. It's terribly good, though, because it's really, like, overwhelming, and you have a lot of questions and whatnot. But I remember having that happened to me, and I went forward to receive prayer at the end of the service. They did an invitation, kind of like we do. They said, hey, if you would like prayer, come forward. And I went forward and received prayer and had this powerful encounter with God, one that I was positive that God had shown up. It was like too outside of me to say that it was just like me that morning. And I mean, it changed my life. In fact, I remember that being a significant event in my life that caused me to feel like my wife and I, Dawn and I, were supposed to go into ministry. I just knew. I was like, we can't not do that. God is calling us into that. And it's not that everybody who has that experience ends up doing ministry. That's not it. It's just that's what happened for us, which I'll share more of in a few minutes here. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to read the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11. So if you have your Bible, you can turn to the book of Luke, chapter 11. And we're going to read verses 5 through 13. It'll also be on our screen as we go here too. So here we go. This is Jesus teaching his disciples. It says, then teaching them more about prayer. So this is in the context of Jesus teaching what's called the Lord's Prayer, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. He's teaching that. And he says, then teaching them more about prayer. So Jesus is going to connect prayer with the Holy Spirit. I just want you to notice that. Jesus used this story. Suppose you went to a friend's house at midnight, wanting to borrow 3 loaves of bread. You say to him, a friend of mine has just arrived for a visit, and I have nothing for him to eat. And suppose he calls out from his bedroom, don't bother me. The door is locked for the night, and my family and I are all in bed. I can't help you. But I tell you this, though he won't do it for a friendship's sake, if you keep knocking long enough, he will get up and give you whatever you need because of your shameless persistence. How many of you have ever done that? Just knocked on your neighbor's door until they answer. I can see you, right? It's basically what Jesus is saying. And so I tell you, keep on asking and you'll receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. You fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? I'm going to read that last verse again. How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now, I remember the first time that I read this verse, and I remember asking this question. Even though I'd grown up in church, I had this question that rose when I read that verse, is, who is the Holy Spirit? It seems like that's a natural response to Jesus saying, hey, that our Heavenly Father is going to give us more of the Holy Spirit if we ask. So the question would be, who is the Holy Spirit? You know, because I think some people, and I've met people who consider the Holy Spirit just almost in the sense of he's an active force. You know, there's certain religions out there that believe in the Holy Spirit, but they don't believe the Holy Spirit is a person. And they say things like, well, the Holy Spirit is just an active force. And sometimes we treat the Holy Spirit in the church almost like it is an active force, not a person. So for instance, we'll say things like, well, what did it do? You know, what did it do versus a personal pronoun like what did he do? And so oftentimes I think people maybe depersonalize the Holy Spirit in a way that it's just a force at work. Other people, I think, I would assume, might be confused about the Holy Spirit. And let's just do this. Let's just do a little impromptu poll. How many of you would say because of your past experience or maybe what you've seen on TV or some weird books you've read would say that there's a little bit of confusion about the Holy Spirit? Anybody willing to admit that? All right. Thank you. Can we give them a power clap on the count of three? I want to show Jerry how to really do it, all right? So a power clap is when you clap all at the same time after we say three, okay? 1, 2, 3.
Where's Jerry at? Where? Hey, Steve. What, did Jerry give you $5? I don't know. What's up with that? So, Steve, come on. That's just close. I can't even continue. But here's the thing. Those of you who acknowledge the reality is that oftentimes our experiences or lack of experiences shape our perceptions on who the Holy Spirit is. And so I want to press into that for the next season of time, because we want to be a church that is definitely committed to the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, but we want to do it in a way where we're following Scripture's guidelines for how we should function in light of that desire. And so I think a lot of people are confused, and I think oftentimes that confusion leads people to assume a couple things about the Holy Spirit. And these are just observations I've made, especially about people who maybe camp out in the Holy Spirit sector of the church. But there's this assumption that the Holy Spirit is only purpose in life is to give you goosebumps at church or at conferences, right? Like, oh man, the Holy Spirit was moving. Well, how did you know the Holy Spirit was moving? I got goosebumps all over my arms. I'm like, all right, I've never heard that before. But that's true, is that sometimes at conferences or at church gatherings and the Holy Spirit is working, we might have external expressions or feelings happen. But I don't know if that's the primary reason why the Holy Spirit exists. And by I don't know, I mean it isn't. I also think, just being honest, I think that oftentimes too, people kind of assume that the Holy Spirit's all about making people do weird things. Anybody grew up in a church where that was pretty common? Just me and my wife. All right, cool. A couple of you, right? It's like, oh, that was weird. And then people are like, well, was the Holy Spirit moving? I'm like, oh, I can't question it then. I guess, right? And I don't mean that to say that the Holy Spirit won't work in a way that makes you uncomfortable, because I think he does. But I think that sometimes the things that we say is the Holy Spirit in certain churches maybe is not. And also, finally, if you've been in the vineyard at any point in time for long enough to experience this, you may assume that the Holy Spirit is there to make you cry, okay, and to make snot come out of your nose, you know, because that seems like that happens sometimes when we're engaging with God. But I think there's more to the Holy Spirit than that. And so the first thing I want to say about the Holy Spirit is this, and this is, I think, ultimately very important for us to start with, is the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is God. One of my favorite theologians says this. This is the way that he explains this in his book, The Holy Spirit. Stanley Hauerwas says this. When we talk about the Holy Spirit, we are talking about God. When Christians say Holy Spirit, they are not merely saying God. They are saying Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who are the one God. Now, Paul, I just want to say this. The Trinity is this orthodox doctrine that Christians have believed for 2,000 years that says there is one God who exists eternally as three persons. Now, if we're going to be honest, we'll all say that that is deeply mysterious. Can we all say that? Like, how can three be one? I think the only way to answer that question is to say it's God, that there is mystery there. But because if you and I do math, we generally say 1 + 1 + 1 equals what? Three, right? But let me ask you this. I think sometimes the way that we do math needs to be a little bit more complex. What is 1 infinity + 1 infinity + 1 infinity? It's infinity, right? And that is God. God is this mysterious being who exists eternally as three persons, though, yet there is one God. So we'll dive into that more. That's the deep end of the swimming pool. But all that is to say is that when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we're talking about the third person of the Trinity. To believe in the Holy Spirit is to believe in God. To have had an experience of the Holy Spirit is to have had an experience of something other than yourself. That's how Stanley Hauerwas says it. And so if the Holy Spirit is God, and the Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity, being he is a person, then the natural thing that we read in Scripture doesn't surprise us is that the Holy Spirit has a will. The Holy Spirit actually has a will, has desires, has plans, has things that he is doing. This is how Paul says it. The Apostle Paul says this. He says, it is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. And if you look in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 through 10, Paul lays out a bunch of spiritual gifts that he has given to, that God has given to the church. So it is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. The Holy Spirit has a will. The Holy Spirit actually has a will. So this is really
pretty practical for me in this season of being here for a year, because what has happened is, as we've been thinking about being here for a year, Don and I have had a lot of time to reflect on how this came about. Because as some of you probably know, if you've been around here, you know our story, but you know, we were pastoring in Wisconsin. We've been at a church for 11 years. We had no plans of leaving. We were pretty set in our life. And so when I talk about the Holy Spirit having a will, it's really easy for me to see the application of that in my own personal life. Because about 2.5 years ago, I was sitting in Cannon Beach, Oregon. We were speaking at a Vineyard conference, and I was just praying, and I felt like the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said that we were supposed to transition. And that's where I say that sometimes when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, it's a little bit outside of your expectations, right? And so as I was sitting there listening to the Lord speak, you know, and just having this sense that God was going to transition us, you know, what I discovered is that contrary to many of our popular opinions, God actually has plans, and sometimes those plans don't fit with our plans, right? We all have plans, but then we discover that God might have plans that are a little bit different than ours. So I discovered in that season, once again, that the Holy Spirit had a will for my life, had a will for my wife's life, I had a will for all five of our kids' lives to move and to transition. And so we entered into this season of really trying to discern and hear from the Lord about where we were supposed to go. And so that leads me to this. This is what I think is really cool. The Holy Spirit, as the third person of the Trinity, actually wants to have a relationship with every one of you in this room. So this is how Paul prays this in 2 Corinthians. He says, "May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." Now, last week, we looked at the fourth sign of a healthy church, and it was koinonia. Do you remember that? Koinonia was the word that gets translated as fellowship or sharing or partnership. It is a relational word. And so what Paul says here, "and the koinonia of the Holy Spirit be with you all." And so his whole point there is that we actually can have a relationship with Jesus, with the Father, and with the Holy Spirit. There's actually relationship happening there. And the Holy Spirit actually is at work in our lives, is welcomed in our lives to do what he does, and we can grow in our fellowship with him. That's essentially what Paul is getting at there. Does that make sense? Yeah? Have you ever thought about that, about having a relationship with the Holy Spirit? Because in our churches, we generally talk about having a relationship with who? You're not even sure. You're like, I don't know. I just hear, "I'm coffee? Where's coffee?" Right? Who is it that we are generally talk about having a relationship with? It's Jesus, right? Like, in fact, a very common question that my grandma would ask people is, "Do you know Jesus? Or do you have a relationship with Jesus?" Have any of you seen that movie New in Town? Anybody? All right, if you want to understand Don and I and the culture we were in, you have to watch that movie, because it's a movie about a woman who goes to Minnesota, and everybody talks like, you know, "Yeah, sure, don't you know, you betcha," and that's how they talk, and they always talk about casseroles and bringing casseroles to everything. But there's this point in the movie where the lady who lives in Minnesota looks at the main character and says, "Have you found Jesus?" And the lady's like, "I didn't know he's missing. Is he missing?" You know, but the whole point is that oftentimes when we talk about relationship in the church, we're talking about relationship with Jesus, right? But what Paul would say to us is that we can have relationship, fellowship, partnership with the Holy Spirit, which is actually one of the Vineyard values that we have, is partnering with the Holy Spirit. So that leads us, I think, to ask a natural question about this. What does the Holy Spirit do? What does the Holy Spirit do? So I've already kind of suggested that I don't think it's fair to the Holy Spirit to reduce the Holy Spirit to being the person who gives you goosebumps, or to say that the Holy Spirit is all about certain manifestations or feelings. I don't know if that's exactly the way that we should understand the Holy Spirit. In fact, I think that minimizes the work, the presence, and the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. But here's how I would answer that question. The Holy Spirit manifests the active presence of God in the world, and especially in the church. Okay? So whatever God is doing here on earth, or whatever God is doing in our lives, whatever God is doing in our church, he is doing through the Spirit, his Spirit. Because Jesus ascended to heaven, and he said that he would send who? The Spirit, right? He would send the Spirit. And what that means for us is that the Holy Spirit is how we experience God's presence and salvation. It is the Holy Spirit who actually gives us the experience of his presence, God's presence and salvation. And this is why, as a church, we don't want to fall into the category of neglecting the Holy Spirit. And I think it's true that there's some churches that may have more prominence, more presence, more focus on the Holy Spirit than maybe is healthy. I think that is absolutely an accurate thing. But I do think this, that sometimes when people make that accusation, they have a very low view of the Trinity. They want to talk a lot about Jesus, which I'm all about. How many of you know that I'm all about Jesus, right? Like, I love Jesus. Can we all say that we love Jesus? He's why we exist, right? Why are we here? To know Jesus and to, right? Jesus is the central figure in our faith. But because we're Trinitarians who believe that the Bible teaches that God exists as Father, Son, and Spirit, it is absolutely okay for us to have a focus on the Holy Spirit. Because we don't want to be a church that neglects the Holy Spirit either. So this is the way that Francis Chan says it. I love how he says this in his book, Forgotten God. He says, from my perspective, and he's within the more broadly evangelical world, he says, from my perspective, the Holy Spirit is tragically neglected and for all practical purposes, forgotten. While no evangelical would deny his existence, I'm willing to bet there are millions of churchgoers across America who cannot confidently say they have experienced his presence or action in their lives over the past year. And many of them do not believe that they can. And I think that quote right there is why we want to spend some time on the Holy Spirit, talking about the third person of the Trinity, who's not last in the Trinity, but is mentioned third. So here's a question I think for us maybe to think about for a few minutes here, as we're kind of collectively gathered this morning, is what would it look like to have more of the Holy Spirit's presence in your life? And just think about that question. What would it look like to have more of the Spirit in your life, in your life? Because remember how Jesus said this crazy, amazing thing? He said, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? It's such a remarkable statement to me that Jesus would say that he, the Father, would give us more of the Spirit if we asked him. Now, I would like to encourage you to stand with me for a few minutes here. And so this is kind of like just obviously intro into this season for a few weeks, few months for us. But, you know, like that question of what would it look like if the Holy Spirit was more present in your life, I think is a pretty good question in light of the fact that I believe that the Heavenly Father only gives good things. You may agree with me? Like, our Heavenly Father has said that he is only going to give us good things. And that's the beauty of Jesus' teaching in Luke 11. He says, hey, even you earthly fathers don't give bad things to your kids. Like, if my kids ask me for something, I'm going to give it to them, right? You know, unless it's like $1 million. Then I'm like, you need to go see your grandparents, right? But as an earthly father, I want to do everything I can for our kids to experience like abundant life. And I think most of you parents can easily agree with that. How much more so our Heavenly Father? How much more does our Heavenly Father want to give us more of the Holy Spirit's presence in our lives? And so I want you to think about this. And I'm going to have Dan come up here. He's going to play for a few minutes here. But is in the Vineyard, our favorite prayer is, come Holy Spirit. It has always been our favorite prayer from the minute the Vineyard started. And the reason why is because a bunch of evangelicals discovered that the Bible taught that the Holy Spirit was actually available for the church. And they started to experience his presence and his power, and they saw people's lives transformed in a way that caused them to constantly be praying, come Holy Spirit. And if you study church history, you'll actually discover this, that the prayer, come Holy Spirit, has been a prayer that the church has been praying since day one. I mean, all throughout church history, we can read the patristic church fathers for the first 300 years of the church. They constantly were praying for the Holy Spirit to come. Why? Because when the Holy Spirit comes, he changes us. He transforms us. He shapes us into the image of Jesus. The Holy Spirit causes us to give up things because he has a better way for us. The Holy Spirit invites us into life that's abundant, and it's something that actually is positive. And so I want to encourage you with this. I know some of you maybe are like, yeah, let's get this charismatic Pentecostal party going. Some of you are like that, and we're going to say, cool, we'll talk about that later. Some of you might be more like, hey, I'm kind of scared because every time I've been around those kooky Holy Spirit people, they get weird. You know what? I just want to encourage you to like put those things aside right now. Close your eyes and think about the answer to three questions. First question is this. What would you like the Holy Spirit to do in your life? Like when you survey your life right now, what you're facing, what you are going through, what you're experiencing, what would you like the Holy Spirit to do in your life right now? You know, some of you may say, hey, I would love the Holy Spirit to give me wisdom about this situation that I'm facing. Some of you would maybe say, I have been facing an illness for a really long time. It's a chronic thing, and I need the Holy Spirit to come and to bring healing. Some of you may say, hey, I have been addicted to some things in my life, and I cannot get over it. I have tried everything, and I cannot break the stronghold that is there, and so I would like the Holy Spirit to help me with that. Or maybe you have something completely different, but that's the question I want you just to think about for a minute here. What would you like the Holy Spirit to do in your life? What would you like the Holy Spirit to do in your life? And so, Holy Spirit, I would pray right now that you would, even as people are posturing their hearts to receive and to hear from you, would you speak to them and give them some direction in areas that you'd like to press into? The second of our three questions is, are you open to the Holy Spirit having more of your life and having more for you? Are you open to the fact that the Holy Spirit may actually call you to give up some things that you have been holding on to for a long time? Are you open to the reality that the Holy Spirit actually may have a will for your life that is completely different than the things you've been expecting and the direction you've been going and the plans you've been making? Might the Holy Spirit know more than you? Might he actually want to invite you into experiencing life in an abundant way? And are you open to it? And then the last question is, what if the Spirit asks you to do something hard? How will you respond? How will you respond? Will your response be, yes, I will go where you go? Or is your response going to be, I'm not ready yet? And so just with everybody's eyes still closed, and as we just kind of wait on the Holy Spirit for a minute here, I'd like to pray. Yeah, Holy Spirit, the third person, you are the third person of the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit. And it is right that we pray to you because you are God. And we ask, Heavenly Father, that you would pour out more of your Spirit into this place, into our hearts, into our lives, into our minds, into every facet of our being, that we would be filled more and more with your Holy Spirit. And so we collectively pray, come, Holy Spirit. And so if you would just, with your eyes closed and your head's bowed right now, I want to just share this with you. You know, as we say every Sunday, that this church is a safe space. This space right here is a space where we want you to come and do business with God. Like, you come and you do business with God. You do business with other followers of Jesus. Like, we're gathered together as a family. But in my experience, every time that I sensed that I wanted to draw closer to God, where I wanted to have some kind of encounter with the Holy Spirit, it was deeply connected to prayer. I mean, that's what Jesus basically teaches in chapter 11 of Luke. Teaching on prayer, he continues to say, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? And so throughout church history, because what the Bible teaches, throughout church history, people have said, hey, I would like more of the Holy Spirit's presence. And then what people around them do is they lay hands on them and they pray and they say, come, Holy Spirit, fill this person up. So what I would like to do is this. If you are here this morning and you have some things that you had come to mind as you were thinking through that question of what would you like the Holy Spirit to do, we would like to pray for you. We would love to pray for you and to ask that the Holy Spirit would provide for those needs that you have. But sure, if you're here this morning, you're just thinking, man, I don't know what God's got for me. I don't know what his plans are for me. I'm not sure what he wants to do in my life, but I can say this. I definitely want more of the Holy Spirit's presence in my life. If that's you, we would like to pray for you. And because church is a safe space, what I want to ask you to do is, if you'd be willing to come forward for prayer, I'd love to pray for you right now. And so if you need something from the Lord, if you feel like you have things that you want God to do in your life, I'd like to invite you just to come forward right now. Or if you want more of the Holy Spirit's presence in your life, I'd like to invite you to come forward right now. I have really nice breath mints, so I can pray very good right now. But if you would like more of the Holy Spirit's presence, also, if you're here this morning and you'd say, hey, what I need is that I need a touch from the Lord. I need to receive healing because I've been facing some illnesses. One of the things that Paul teaches, actually, is that the Holy Spirit gives gifts of healings to the church to actually bring healing to people's lives. And so if that's you too, we would love to pray for you. If you have any chronic illnesses, if it's as simple as headaches, here's the thing, God actually cares deeply about those things too. He doesn't mind if you might think it's not that big of a deal, okay? Or if you need just some wisdom as a parent or as a friend or as a member of a family where you're just not really sure what to do, I think that'd be another thing to receive prayer for too. And so I'd like to do this then. I'd love to pray. I want to keep praying for people. But if you're a part of this church and you are comfortable praying, I'd love to have you come forward and pray for some of these people. These people are here because they want to be touched by the Lord and would like to receive from him. So feel free to come forward. If you've been an elder in our church before or part of our prayer teams or any of those things, why don't you make your way forward now? We'd love to have you come in and join us. And we're going to go ahead and sing one more song together.